This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 6th of August, 1963. The title of this lecture is Auditing Comm Cycles. This tape is 83 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions.
Well, how are you today? Good. Well, this is what? 6 August, A.D. 13. We have three new instructors today. Three new instructors. No other vast changes are envisaged beyond the curriculum. Now that you've caught up all of your check sheets, you see, it's time to change the check sheets. This is inevitable. Inevitable. That mixture which is not shaken stagnates. This was probably the earliest Greek utterance. So we don't want you to get stagnated. Only changes which you get in curriculum and so forth is the change in W, which has been in a state of flux anyway. And definition of an auditor is being used in W. And I found some new ways of milking down a tone arm, getting the bestest and mostest out of that tone arm, getting that tone arm to really wiggle and wobble. That's very important. And this piece of technology is hand and glove, and it all goes back to very basic simplicities. Every once in a while, somebody says, and this lecture does concern this definition of an auditor. I'm not going to talk to you too much about the auditing cycle in this. Well, I'm going to talk to you about its particular aspects and how an auditor handles it. Every once in a while, somebody says, well, why don't you something or other, something or other, something or other? That's the crux of the situation. Why don't you change all administrative actions? Why don't you alter all central organizational lines? Why don't you so forth? Why don't we change everything in the course, and so on? What they're dealing with is a problem they actually don't see the breadth and depth of. And that problem is this: the character of this planet and the population hereon makes it practically impossible to do anything with this planet. Now, I'm not taking off from a failure point. The stress and thought and prevention and cure and this and that, which you have to go into on this planet to get anything done and running, is absolutely fantastic. Now, you want to ask why this is. Well, we'll go into that in a moment. But those of you who have on the back track an experience, if you just get some guys together and you do something, you see? Well, that's been a common experience. And you still tend to operate in that zone and sphere of influence. In other words, you said, well, it was very easy. We just whistle up Joe, Bill, and Pete, and the four of us will go down there and fix up the signboards, and that'll take care of that, see? You're all set. But that was yesteryear and elsewhere. And you apply that basic feeling to this planet, and you're in trouble at once. Why? This planet is part of a larger federation, was part of an earlier federation, and passed out of its control due to losses in war and other such things. Now, this larger confederacy, this isn't its right name, but we have often called it and referred to it in the past as the Markab Confederacy. And it has been wrongly or rightly pointed to as one of the tail stars of the Big Dipper, which is the capital planet of which this planet is. Now, all this sounds very space opera-ish and that sort of thing, and I'm sorry for it. But I am not one to quibble about the truth. This gets in people's hair every now and then. And I don't see any point in lying in order to be acceptable. It just doesn't seem to be a right way to go about things, particularly in the realm of science. I don't think a scientist should tell a bunch of scientific, quote-unquote, lies in order to be an acceptable scientist. It doesn't seem to me to be a sensible proceeding. However, be that as it may, these various planets united into a very vast civilization, which has come forward up through the last 200,000 years, is formed out of the fragments of earlier civilizations. Now, I can't tell you accurately exactly what these blokes are up to or where they're from, but this isn't quite germane to this galaxy. That's the first thing you should know about it. It isn't quite native to your track. You find a type of mental implanting and that sort of thing going on here in the last couple hundred thousand years, which are not native to your earlier track. Now, this is all very important. It's very important because they have a terrible problem. They have the problem of people who are native to this galaxy and aren't used to this kind of thing. And they have the basic problem of how do you kill a Thetan? And that's a terrible problem to men who have very, very guilty consciences and blood on their hands. Great problem. Probably the best way to hide your overts is to give somebody amnesia. You see, then they don't know what you've done to them. And then tell them something else has happened. Well, this is a dramatization of a very craven intelligence. And that is what is going on here. Now, the fellow who conforms to that society is in no vast trouble. Perhaps some bloke who has a military record against them and that sort of thing might possibly, no matter what he did, find himself unable to satisfactorily conform. But the point is that their ideal is the conformist. Now, these conformists are pretty weird, and the personnel of that particular society is pretty scummy, to say the least. Let's supposing you were in the last shambling wreckages of a red light district. You'd have high-toned personnel compared to the personnel which makes up the other planets I'm talking to you about. High-toned personnel. Much higher tone than their average run. They practice cannibalism. The stuff you get on racetracks, this every time, once in a while, some PC will run into racetracks and racetrack drivers. This Roman circus type entertainment, don't you see? All that kind of stuff. That's all out of this zone and area. We're still with that planetary system. So they specialize in the fellow who will conform. Now, he ordinarily is a worker who is content to draw wages and not do another single blessed thing. You know, never really get up, improve his lot, you see, and keep on plugging along somehow, or even slump into indigence. He's still their choice of personnel. So this leaves the brilliant artist, the brilliant engineer, the manager, the genius, the criminal, the pervert, non persona grata. And they sentence these people, the upper class, that is to say, the brighter gent, because they can't control him, and they're afraid of him. And the lower class, because it's too vicious even for them. And they condemn these people to perpetual amnesia. Dead forever, they call it. The problem of killing a Thetan. Wrap them up in moss balls and ship them down here, and here we are. And that is the population of this planet. All right. Here's a population, then, of minimal workers, maximal managers, artists, geniuses, criminals, and perverts. What you going to make out of this lot, huh? Now, those are the blokes you're talking to when you say, add up the left-hand column of the ledger. Well, of course, the artist says he could add it up much more prettily. The guy who actually, in his own right, was a very skilled manager, he says he could devise a much better a system. It's true, too. He probably could. If the bird's a criminal, he's just sitting there trying to figure out how he can add it up so he can short you. And there's your zone of operation. There's your response to HC in trying to get an organization running. It's all alter is, because the basic crime was non-conforming. The basic crime wasn't being a criminal. The basic crime was not conforming. Well, actually, this group has gone ahead and made up until recent times, a totally different civilization than the civilization which planted it here. In the last 10,000 years, they have gone on with a sort of a decadent, kicked-in-the-head civilization that contains automobiles, business suits, fedora hats, telephones, spaceships. Quite interesting, but a civilization which looks an almost exact duplicate, but is worse off than the current U.S. civilization. Therefore, you find the current U.S. and Western civilization rather stimulative, because it has moved up to look like the Markabian civilization. It's been moving up here rather rapidly, and now we're at a point, a very high level of restimulation, because the automobile design, the train design, ship design, well, they've got ships in those areas, looks just like the Queen Mary. And the fire engines, and the stuff you do with men's clothes, particularly. All of these things are the same image. So you're going into a highly restimulative era, because we've not had this before. We've been moving up through strata of civilization, but we hadn't matched this one. And remember that this society at the present time looks dangerous. It looks very dangerous. One of the highest crimes you could pull in that Markabian society, probably even today, is income tax. You make one comma wrong, and it's dead forever. Sounds weird, doesn't it? So they got everybody paying income tax. Awful restimulative. Probably nothing much wrong with income tax where it was administered as a tax. But it isn't. It's administered as a punishment even on this planet today. Well, it's one of their prime punishments in the Markabian civilization. All of this adds up to what? An era going on right now of highly restimulative associations in the civilization, and therefore a high felt level of danger. People feel like they are in danger. Scientologists every once in a while, hearing me talk like this, feel even more in danger. They say, boy, those guys will have to land here tomorrow, you know. Of course, I pull this every once in a while. Diana suddenly appeared on my right side last night leading dinner. I didn't even know she was in the room, you see. And just out of the corner of my eye, I saw a pair of white spots that looked like the spats a spaceman uses, you know. And for a split second, I said, well, here they are, you know. But anyway, you should realize that the material on the Between Lives area has been much more broadly circulated than any of our material is now, because it was laid down the line in all directions to the most unlikely places, including Russia. Was contained in the book What to Audit and other materials. And that was 1951 and 52. I consider that's interesting because, let me point out to you, that's 11 or 12 years ago and there hasn't been a ripple. I just want to point that out to you as an interesting point. No, gents of this character who have a system worked out this way, would the last thing in the world they'd do would be blow their own game. See? All I'd have to do is land one spaceship, and they feel like everybody'd go into convulsion of suddenly remembering everything. And they do, you know. Any rumor of men from Mars or something like that, and this planet goes into a total convulsion. They produced Orson Welles' broadcast down in Quito, I think it was Ecuador. The radio station there, I think a 17-story building or large building, whatever the figures were on it. And mobs tore that building to pieces and killed 17 people in the process. They practically slaughtered the staff of that radio station. In other words, they went mad. So they know that great riots are tended by this, but a landing in force without any equivocation that it had been a landing of some type or like this would be liable to restore everybody's memory. I think that's what they feel. Whether this is true or not, we couldn't worry less. But here you are. That's the point. Here you are. That is this planet. Every once in a while, you get mad at government on this planet when, in actual fact, you're mad at the Markabian government. And there's a great deal of confusion. Every once in a while, somebody will get awfully furious with an organization. Very furious with an organization here on this planet when they have actually identified the organization with the Markabian civilization. Now, you start hitting people here with restimulative materials of this particular type, and it restimulates a terrific unreality. It restimulates amnesia. I have to ask you this. How hard do you have to hit somebody to bring about amnesia? Let's take Joe out here and let's just see how hard I have to hit Joe in order to bring about amnesia on his part so he doesn't know who he is, where he is, or anything else. How hard would we have to hit him? Boy, that's pretty hard. It's almost unbelievable force is used to handle a Thetan and put him into this kind of condition. I've been hit with some awful heavy force in this universe without losing my mind or forgetting who I am. See? So it's pretty heavy duress. And you restimulate that very easily by telling people things. It gets awful unreal. But you would find if you gave them the actual dope that they would be far more in agreement with you than if you gave them just a touch of the dope. You see? You won't find the citizens of this planet very far in disagreement with what you're doing, so therefore you've got some kind of explosion going. Well, these guys are not going to blow their own show, see. They're not going to do anything peculiar about it. They probably got us all sized up if they know anything about us at all. They probably have some dim idea what we're doing and saying, oh, yes, ho-hum. And give the devil his due. They might even say, well, hey, what do you know? Those guys might be producing a type of technology which we ourselves desperately need. Look at that. See, now they know the problems exist. They couldn't have had any decent solution, or they wouldn't have taken the route to solution which they have. They are beings too, remember that. So when we look at all this, you are one organizationally handling people who are revolutionaries. They are nonconformists. Probably the common denominator of this planet is revolution. Probably the one thing you could always start on this planet would be a revolution. Because it's a state of perpetual revolution. Try to hold any organization together of any kind whatsoever becomes almost impossible. Because everybody you're dealing with is a nonconformist. All right, so far goes the civilization. There are just those few statements on the thing I thought you might find of interest. We're dealing now with what is an auditor. You are handling, therefore, the roughest case that you could find in the universe. Because the rehabilitation of the individual demands that you rehabilitate his knowingness. If his knowingness does not increase independently, he himself does not get well. It isn't, electrical charge on the case is simply a symptom that measures his knowingness. If he's got too much charge, his knowingness is way down. See, that's an indirect measure of the amount of knowingness of the individual. And as the case moves along up the line, you get an odd factor. You get an odd factor. This case continues progressively to remember more. Now, one of the things the case recovers is picture memory. Remembering by pictures. I have a picture of, so therefore I was. They can call that a picture memory. And that goes from a terrific unreality on it down to a pretty good certainty on it. So a person at that stage of the game, an advanced stage of the game in inspecting his own pictures, can tell the difference between a false picture and an actual picture that has something to do really with him on his track. And as his knowingness increases, he can tell you where it belongs and what date it has and so on. In other words, he can spot it. Bang. That's an increased knowingness. It's knowingness that is increasing all the way along the line. Now, from picture memory, the individual graduates up to simply knowing. Now, right now, you don't have to get a picture of where you were living to know where you live. You see that? You don't have to get a picture of your name to know what your name is. In other words, you know this. Well, so does knowingness increase as the case improves. And that knowingness increases up the line to a point where you know who you have been and where you have been, independent of any created evidence or cross-proof. You simply know. And that factor is a very slow factor to rise. It's not a rapid factor. Under present auditing, yes, it is rapid. But that is all within a framework of hundreds of hours, don't you think? I'll give you an idea of this. For instance, I know where I was and who I was. I know with good certainty who I was and where I was in the last 80 trillion years. I know that. That's not much of an argument with me. But the small details of that liable to go fritter here and there. You know, what did I have for breakfast 2 trillion years ago? And mix, man. Did I even eat? You see, that sort of thing is getting pretty dim. But now over the top of that, which is an identity knowingness, which comes before a detail knowingness, you see, between your picture knowingness and your total knowingness is this stage of just knowing your identity. Why, then this detail knowingness starts to come up and follow in on this smaller basis. And one of your gains on it, you'll know why you were here. you'll have tangled with it in session and that sort of thing, and you'll have picked data out of pictures, but all at once it'll just get more and more. You know why you were here. You know how you got here. You know what you were doing 10,000 years ago, you see. You know what was happening 11,025 years ago, don't you see? No pictures involved. You just know it. And that is the restoration of the beingness of the person. And I have given you, in a very crude way here, a cycle of that restoration of beingness. His beingness returns to him gradually, bit by bit. Perhaps the lowest edge of it is something on the idea of maybe I possibly could know who I was. You know, possibly I could know what I am doing here, or I might even be able to know who I am. Just some sort of a feeling like one might be able to know. And that crawls up forward to a picture knowingness, and the unreality of those pictures at first is fabulous, so that anybody shows you any kind of a picture, man, any kind of a picture, that is must be yours, and therefore you must have been there. They could show you a picture of an airplane falling apart, and you'd want to say, well, I must have been in that airplane falling apart. And later on, you suddenly realize, hell, I'm looking at that airplane from 2 miles away. What am I doing looking at it from 2 miles away? This dawns on you after a while. Your valence problem all of a sudden comes up. It hits you in the face, whether you're coaxed to do it by the auditor or not. I'm in that airplane, see, over there, 2 miles away. See, so therefore I must have had an awful fall. And it turns out eventually you begin to see this thing. You say, hey, wait a minute, I couldn't have been there. Blame somebody I shot down. Maybe it's somebody I did this with. Well, then you finally say, well, shucks, that thing is just a false picture. That isn't my picture at all. And then whatever your picture of yours is holding it in suspense, that picture suddenly peels off the front of it like a badly painted chromo. And your own picture's right behind it. And you say, oh, there I was. Your valence. That various cycle of recognition takes place in this picture line. But what does it take, then, to bring about such a total amnesia? Let's look at that. What does it take to bring about such a total amnesia? I was riding a spaceship down one day. Side gaskets of the tubes blew out on one side and wiped out the engine room crew. I went in to drag them out just the moment when the whole back blast of the rockets moved frontwards through the engine room and got hit square in the face. And managed to crawl out of the place. The ship went into the atmosphere, melted, and crashed. And a couple of minutes or a couple of seconds after it hit, all of its fuel went up and hit me in the face. And I lost my memory. I lost my memory. It took me quite a while, sitting down very quietly, to remember where base was. I sat there and figured and figured and figured. Actually, I'd send some people back to come and pick up the wreckage and so forth. And I was pretty foggy. And very shortly, I snapped out of it. You know, of course, you know. But just how much force is force? Well, this is the type of scout craft which has the engines of a battle cruiser all packed into a very tight spot, you see, and all of it red-hot fuel. And Cape Canaveral's got nothing like the amount of force one of those things can deliver, don't you see? And to get all of that square in your thetan puss twice and get confused about where base was. Got the idea? And how much force has it taken to destroy somebody's memory? That's interesting, an interesting point, isn't it? Well, that's how much force you've been subjected to. Otherwise, you wouldn't have a case. I'm not trying to make you afraid of force. You get up to a point after a while as a thetan force, morse, who cares? I had a funny feeling the other day. I didn't quite feel up to diving into the sun. I just didn't feel up to it. I didn't feel it would be a healthy thing for me to do just now. I felt weak. I felt the interactive forces of the sun, and I felt sort of drawn a little bit toward the sun, and I said no. I sort of did a suppress and looked the other way. I just didn't feel like taking a sun bath today. You get the idea, you know. You feel queasy. Too much force. Too much force. Well, now, that force, of course, has to be combined with trickery. And the trickery is mostly scrambling somebody's dates and giving them opposite opposing items that can suspend in time so that the scrambled dates will suspend in time. You get the combinations. You know them in our various technologies. But let's not move away from the point of into the trickery of it. It does require the force. Force. How much force does it take to destroy the memory of a being? Well, that's how much force an auditor is getting off a case. And of course, you'd much rather get off unknowingness and oddities and oddball things. You'd much rather, because they're easier to confront than raw force. And they're easier for the priest to confront too. Therefore, you say, what have you done? And your PC said, well, I had a hostile thought about you the other day. I thought you really should do your hair up in back. Oh, good. We've got a big withhold off. You get the gentle pat a cake that you'll sometimes see in auditing sessions. Your proper auditing response, of course, is, well, thank you very much, and so forth. And OW is a bit different than other brands of auditing. You say, what have you done? Done. Done. And if you work very, very hard, you can get a done in all these things. You see, behind all these critical things is a done, is an actual action. And you can listen to critical things till a cow comes home, and you will never get anybody raised up the line until you found an actual action. That is the secret of all sec checking, and that is where people fall down in sec checking. Now, why do they fall down? Well, it's much easier to confront this random little thing than it is the energy contained in a dun. You see that? Therefore, the mission of an auditor is the restoration of a person's awareness, which includes his memory, his knowingness of himself, and so forth. Restoration of awareness. What is holding down that awareness? What is holding down this knowingness? What is sitting on this knowingness? Well, you can say trickery and force, but it is force used with trickery. So that an individual will get an ARC break with force and then become the effect of force. So you're handling, in actual fact, somebody who has lots of ARC breaks with other beings, matter, energy, space, time, and location and form. That is in direct definition. This person is out of calm, out of affinity, and out of reality with matter, energy, space, time, location, other beings, and form. Now, that's the PC. So what's an auditor? Well, an auditor has to be somebody who can release this tremendously involved force, somebody who can release this force from the PC. Obviously, if it's a deranged force, which is bringing about the amnesia of the PC, then the auditor, to get a return of memory of the PC, has to be capable of alleviating and removing that force. I mean, that's simple. Simple. Elementary, my dear Watson. On your E-meter, you have a tone arm. Force is removing itself from the case as long as that tone arm is in motion. And the wiggle-waggle of the tone arm as the PC is being audited tells you that force is being relieved from the case. When you start to remove force that is aberrated by some trickery, your tone arm hangs up until the trickery is resolved, you know, wrong date or something like that, and your tone arm action is restored. All of these things are all cared for in the processes and technologies of auditing. But if that TA isn't moving, you will never make an OT. That's just it. Now, you, oddly enough, do not have to run a process sometimes to get the TA moving. Providing the TA is moving, and you get good motion out of your tone arm, a person will eventually go operating Thetan. Providing you can keep the tone arm moving, the person will eventually go operating Thetan. If the tone arm is not moving, the person will not go operating Thetan, and the case may even deteriorate. Let's just run this case on and on. The case can run an engram, and so you keep running engrams, and the tone arm is stuck right up here at somewhere in the vicinity of 5. And there it sticks at 5, and you go on and audit and audit and audit, and there it is at 5, and there it is at 5, and there it is at 5, and there it is at 5. Aha! You're never going to make an operating thing. Now, if you run the right significances off the case and produce tone arm action, you make an OT much quicker. But you can get tone arm action without running the right significances. Get this syllogism here. And you can run the right significances without getting tone arm action. Oh, well, you can run R3R on somebody who can't handle R3R, and you can run all the right significances and not get into tone arm action. You're not going to make an OT. Well, let me go over this again now, and you'll see where you sit with regard to a tone arm. If you just keep a tone arm moving on the PC long enough, regardless of how and what you're auditing on the case will eventually make OT. But if you run the right significances, and don't get any tone arm action, you're not going to make an OT. You got that now? This is terribly important. Now, it might take thousands and thousands of hours just to randomly keep this tone arm moving on the PC. Lots of PCs can talk forever, you know, without getting any tone arm action. But if you could keep that TA moving, you'd eventually get OT. So you say, then, that a moving tone arm is slightly senior to the right significance. This is right down to bedrock on the subject of auditing. Your job is to keep the TA moving. Now, what's this TA doing? The TA is indicating the blowing off of force. That is a measure of the amount of insisted force which is leaving the case. You've got a measure of it right there. It goes up and down, and it measures the amount of force which is going. Of course, you don't do this arithmetically or mathematically. I imagine someday, one of these days, why, we'll set up a project that measures some guy from scratch, right straight through the end, shows the exact number of motions of the TA on every process or type of process that is run on the person, and these are all added together, and we say there's this many hundred million ergs of energy were released, and at the end of that line we had an OT. But that is, in essence, what you're doing. You're blowing the force, because the more force is blown off the case, the less amnesia the case has. This makes sense to you now. Force created the amnesia. You got to blow it to get rid of the amnesia. Now, there's an interesting one for one. Now, the amount of time in processing, is enormously speeded up if you run the right significances, because you're running the force off early track, and you start to get force release, which you don't see on the meter. Now, let's not say that if the tone arm isn't moving, it's all okay. The tone arm is also moving when this happens. I was sitting down in session one day, and I could feel, I could feel energy masses disintegrating clear out to Arcturus. It sure wasn't registering on the meter. If it had, there wouldn't have been any more meter. There'd just been charred wire. You get the idea. It was blowing off all over the place.
This lecture is continued on side two of this cassette.
Every once in a while we'll get a blowdown phenomenon. When you see that blowdown, I'm talking about a repetitive down, see? You can see that needle go, it just keeps doing it. Your tone arm is drifting lower and lower and lower. You're watching a remote force area blow up. Now, if all this force blew up against the PC's face and the PC's body, you wouldn't have any more body in a rabbit. It's pretty hard to do research on it and keep a body over you. It is, because you make one little mistake here, another mistake there, and chew into a GPM someplace else. The next thing you know, there goes this and there goes that, and your right ear looks like a pretzel. Anyhow, the point I'm making here is that your force measured through the E-meter is only a part of the force which is blowing off the case. But if any force is blowing off the case, you have an additional movement of the tone arm. So if a tone arm's moving, you're blowing force, and if a tone arm is not moving, you're not blowing force, and that's all you have to know about it. Now, there are several significances that can keep a tone arm from moving, such as wrong time and an ARC break situation, where the PC is out of comm, and a few things like this. But we're not now discussing the no-motion tone arm. We're discussing a motion tone arm. Therefore, it is of great interest to an auditor, then, to make that tone arm move. And to make it move all he can make it move. And your most fundamental method of making a tone arm move is not running a process. It is the basic definition of an auditor. A listener. The basic way to let a tone arm get a tone arm move is to listen. And that is the fundamental of auditing. Now, somebody could probably talk for 1,000 years and never say the right things. You wouldn't get any tone arm motion. But similarly, how many PCs talk and get tone arm motion from doing so and are shut up or cut off by the auditor? Oh. Now, there's an inhibition of blowing clear. The auditor's not then doing his job. An auditor is setting up a barrier to blowing mass. And you'll find out the PC winds up at the end of the session stupider. At the end of session, he can remember less than he could remember at the beginning of session. Why? Well, you've done something with the force. You have moved it out of the bank and dumped it on the Thetan's head. Oh, it'll destimulate. It'll go out of restimulation and all that sort of thing. The basic definition of an auditor is to listen. He's a listener. His basic job is to listen, not to restimulate. All right. Now, we stand around and we say, well, the Markabians are going to get you tomorrow, man. And the size of the Between Lives area screen is 180 feet by 9 feet and so forth. And people sit there and they go, D-d-d-d-d-d. That's doing what? That's charging them up, isn't it? That's charging them up. Well, actually, they talk it over one with another and usually blow the charge. It's not a grave matter. It's not a difficult matter at all. Their knowingness increases, and they feel all right about it, and so forth. Well, we get away with that. Why? Because we can talk to one another about it. That's why. The only method of blowing reactive charge is by a communication line. There is no other method. By a communication line. I think that's very interesting. Here's the auditor, and he's supposed to listen. The only way the PC can possibly get rid of the charge is blow it by the communication line. Now, this doesn't mean, oddly enough, that he's blowing it at the auditor. He isn't blowing it at the auditor, but that he can communicate it does cause it to dissipate. And it doesn't hit either the auditor or the PC. If the auditor wants to get hit by the charge, he should put up a barrier to prevent it from blowing, and the PC has an ARC break. The next thing you know, the auditor's hit by the charge. You can set up a situation whereby the auditor is hit by the charge, but only if he stops the charge. How do you get rid of charge? Now, get what I just said. How do you get rid of charge? I didn't say how do you handle charge or stimulate charge or anything like that. Just how do you get rid of it? Listen. That's how you get rid of it. Listen. Elementary, my dear Watson. Now, all therapies, since time immemorial, have consisted of listening. One way or the other. He is a sympathetic person, and people tell their troubles to him and very often feel a lot better. Well, all of that is very well, and you can add that up to a short-circuited look at auditing. But remember, this factor entered in. Was the PC or was the patient talking with tone arm action? Oh, that's the difference. Or was the PC just nattering, or was the PC lying? Or something, you let a PC sit there and lie, or a patient sit there and lie for a while, and you're going to have one of the stuckest tone arms you ever wanted to see. So that is the essence of the thing. An auditor is somebody who listens with tone arm action. That's the difference. But remember, the fundamental of all mental activities was listening. Prayer is based on God will hear me. If there's no OTs around, who's going to hear him? Actually, the Lama got so disgusted with this that he put all of his praying on automatic. He puts them on a little wheel. You turn the wheel and it goes brrrr, and 1,000 prayers go up, and he's got that cared for, and I bet you his tone arm didn't move a bit. So an auditor has the job, and auditing consists of re-stimulating a charge. That's the auditing command received by the PC. And then letting the PC blow the charge that is re-stimulated on the return communication line. Simple, isn't it? Try to picture this thing. You needn't take a very accurate copy of this because this is an HCOB, I think, for August. And I'm having it squared around, but I'll draw you this thing. Here's cause, distance, effect. That is a communication cycle. And here is the auditor. And here is the PC. The auditor utters an auditing command. It goes across this distance and hits something. What's it hit? The PC? No. It hits the reactive bank. That accumulated mass of force, which the PC is packing around, that is always kicking his head in. And we get what is known as re-stimulation at this point. There we are. We get a re-stim. There's the living lightning. Pow! Goes the auditing command. We know this guy is very sensitive to snakes. So the auditor says, recall a snake. Pow! See? Bang! Well, now, of course, if we're in some kind of a weird situation whereby we're fighting the PC, why, we're not re-stimulating the bank. We're just trying to get the PC to fight us or something like that. We're not, it had anything to do with auditing. Just forget that. The auditor's address actually is to the reactive bank. And he says, recall a snake. Bow! Now we get a communication line, bank, distance, effect. And here we have the PC. Satan. And the PC says, hey, what do you know? There is a snake in there. And he goes, cause, distance, effect, and that's the end of that. This line must follow in to take care of the charge re-stimulated in your first line. Cause, distance, effect. That's the auditing command. Bow, there's the charge. He recalls the snake. Boom, it starts to hit the Thetan, and the Thetan recognizes it, knows what it is, and imparts that information on his cause, distance, effect line back to the auditor. And there goes auditing. Your cycle then occurs, and the charge is blown. And you see it reacting on the E-meter as blown. These are not all the communication cycles there are in an auditing cycle, but this isn't, doesn't have to be electron. But I'm showing the principal action of these basic lines. Now remember that life is always giving him commands that re-stimulates things here at E on the PC. This is our old PTP and other things of that character. If you don't believe that, put in your sense midroods on the PC and see how superior your tone arm action is. You usually get marvelous tone arm action on sense midroods unless the PC is protesting and wants to get on with the session. And you get marvelous tone arm action. Well, that's just the re-stimulated charge that's been slapped at him out of this mucked up bank that he is gratuitously handed in full re-stimulation with much added force in every between live session he's had with the little boys elsewhere. He's trying to blow that charge. So he comes into session, and he sometimes will sit there and talk to you for quite a while, and the tone arm would just move and move and move and move. He's getting rid of the between sessions charges. Interesting, isn't it? You notice after he's talked for 15, 20 minutes sometime, even somebody who's had a big upset on the thing, you've got in your sense mid-roots, or you haven't gotten in your sense mid-roots, you notice its tone arm action dies down. And then suddenly, mysteriously, the PC is in session. What's happened? You've emptied this reservoir of re-stimulation which life has handed him, re-stimulated in him during the session, between sessions, you see. And you've emptied that thing out. Now you want to know why your PC doesn't go into session sometimes. Well, he's got a lot of re-stimulated charge that is all ready to fall back. Now you've got... Is it kinder to audit somebody 1 hour a week or 25 hours a week? Well, of course, it's no comparison, because in the 1 hour you can't even get rid of life's restimulative action in this reservoir here at all. So you spend that 1 hour indifferently getting rid of 3 days of the week which you're trying to cover, don't you see? And it's a losing proposition. There's a make-break point in auditing where a person has to be audited enough to get rid of this charge which is being consistently and continually re-stimulated. Got that? Well, now, this line here, then, this lower line with the PC at cause, answering this question back to the auditor, who in this case is at effect, then that line must have some seniority to the upper line. The auditor, cause, distance, effect, then, is not quite as important as, they're both terribly important, but is not quite as important as the line cause, distance, effect to the PC. In other words, between the seniority of the two lines, both in the same order of magnitude, you find that the PC's line to the auditor is slightly more important than the auditor's line to the PC. And in this line of cause, distance, effect to the PC, in that line and an inspection of that line, you will find all auditing failures. Providing any process at all that we have has been run. In other words, if a case was loused up by auditing, we don't inspect the process run as the first consideration. We inspect the tone arm as the consideration. Because if you got good tone arm motion running that process, then that bottom line, the C distance E of the PC, was in. Now, we've had processes for years. It's true, our processes have to be very neat. They have to be very important. They re-stimulate the exact amount of charge that then blows the outer bank charge and so forth, and it's all figured out very neatly. And on some PCs, it's almost impossible to get tone arm action, and you have to know what stops tone arm action. You have to know all of these various things. But I'm now just talking about the fundamentals of auditing, and we inspect on a failed case the C-E, with C distance E of the PC, not the process run. That's the first thing we'd inspect. Was the auditor auditing? Now, anybody could sit there and say, recall a snake, 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 and the PC's over.
Well, that's all right. Just don't bother. Recall a snake. Recall a snake. And all of a sudden, PC, da-da-da-da-da, you know? He's swamped. All right, what happens in a case like that? Well, this is very, very easy. This restimulation, when the PC puts it on this line, goes bang, straight back at the PC. Got it? When that line goes out, where else can it go? It's only got one place to go, and that's the PC. So whatever you're stimulating the PC comes home on the PC. Unless it is picked up on the reverse communication line. Now, the penalties of this, you first see the first symptom of the PC's cause distance effect line. The first symptom of its disappearance is a dirty needle. We can go down any line of auditors who are busy auditing, right down any line of auditors, and watch their meters. You don't even have to listen to them. You just see a dirty needle, bang, this line's out, the auditor isn't listening. The first definition of auditor is missing. PC is saying, well, that's a snake. I was one in a zoo. I think it was one in a zoo. The auditor said, okay, thank you, good. Thank you, good. Recall a snake. And PC said, yes. Good. Thank you. Got this nonsense? He just backing up all the charge of the process on the PC. I see some of you have seen this happen. What occurs then? Well, frankly, in time, the C with the PC, its cause, distance effect line, in terms of time, the one here from the PC over to the auditor, may take upwards to 100 times as much time in the session as the line C-E from the auditor. Oh, it only took 3 seconds to ask that question. Recall a snake. And the PC says, he finally says, was it in a zoo? I don't know, a zoo, so on. What you're seeing is identification turning into differentiation. You're seeing force and charge blow off. The PC is inspecting this thing, and its tone arm moves, and it keeps moving. And the PC says, well, he doesn't know. And so on. Was it a green snake or a blue snake? And that's like, why is it a green snake or a blue snake? And so on, you call a snake, and so forth. And so on. Nightmare about a snake, but was that recalling a snake? There was one down at the zoo. Yeah, I got one. Yeah, he was a green snake. Oh, yeah, there was one. Yeah, Houston Zoo. Yeah, got one. Green snake, Houston Zoo. And I was 8. And you will see the cycle of the blowing force on your meter, tone arm, accompany returning knowingness on the part of the PC. And the more you get that thing wobbling, the more positive the PC sounds. You just watch that, because that in itself is a little, I'm saying, is as you get the force off, the PC's knowingness comes back. And you can see it in one cycle. One auditing cycle. The PC says, snake, my God, I've never heard of a snake. What snake? Where? What wallet? I guess there was. See where they keep, I guess, I was in a zoo one time. Yeah, there's zoos. Let's see, zoos, and it must have been a zoo sometime. They used to take me to the zoo when I was a little boy. The snake house. Oh, yeah, I must have been one of the snake houses and so forth. Yeah, Yeah, I used to be fascinated by some cage in there. Let's see. It was a glass-fronted... that a green snake in there. Oh, I remember now. Yeah, I was 8. Yeah, bang, bang. He knows. You pulled him up all the way through the force that tells him he doesn't know, up to a point where he knows. And you think it winds up with his simply seeing the picture clearly. No, no, he goes all the way through the picture stage, which I have just given you. You understand? Now, these two lines have names, regardless of what they will be called on your comm cycle, the comm cycles of your auditing cycles. They have numbers on the auditing cycle, but they have nice colloquial names that you can remember very easily. And this is the what's it line. And this is the it's-a line. Now, the what's it line is from the auditor to the PC. And the auditor's saying, what's it? He says, recall a snake, you know, what's it? And the PC says, fumble, 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 fumble. He's looking for an itza. Itza. Green snake, Houston Zoo. That's the itza. And you'll see the tone arm blow down when he hits it, too. So your tone arm then follows this pattern. Your tone arm follows this pattern. Here is your tone arm here. Two tone arms. And here is... this is already in HCOB, August 4. There's your regular tone arm positions. And here is a nice solid arm, and here is a dotted arm. And here's an arrow showing the motion as up from 3 to 4, and that's a what's it. Got that? We haven't quite determined the low tone arm case, but I think they run in reverse. But that's a what's it. That's the upward throw of the tone arm. That's what's it. PC says, see, snake, what? He's saying, what's a, see? And you'll see that tone arm go up. And then he'll get a little bit of an itza. And you will see the tone arm go down. Your tone arm dotted at 4, falling to solid at 3. And that's itza. And you, frankly, can monitor PC's tone arm on one question like mad. He has an ARC break with somebody, and he sees that there's some similarity, or he thinks maybe he knows somebody who looked like the person he had an ARC break with. You could just keep... this would be a research test. See, he sees... he knows now already that there's some similar incident earlier, that he's got this person associated with somebody he shouldn't have it associated with. Got an identification going. And you say, what reminded you... you don't even know who that earlier person is, see? But what reminded you... in the person you had the IRC break with. Now, what reminded you of the person in the past? See? What's that? You see a PC's tone arm go right up. You say, what's that? Tone arm goes up. PC says, figure. Was it his tie, his shirt? It's a tie, shirt. I think it was the way he must have held his head. And you'll get an itza. And go right down. If the thing is the way hell he's had. And you say, was there anything else? What's that? And he'll go right up. It goes right into the what's it. And the PC says, could have been the way maybe would he stand there, the kind of clothes he was wearing. Must have been the kind of clothes he was wearing. It's a... and down comes the tonar. And you actually can sit there as an auditor and control the motion of the tonar. You can control it. You can say, whatza, and every time you give him a whatza, you'll see it goes up, and make sure he gives you a full itza, and then feed back in again another fragment of the whatza. See? And up goes the tone arm again, and he gives you the itza, and down comes the tone arm again. You can just sit there and call your shots. That's a research project. You normally wouldn't handle calm like that. But you'll see it in running almost any process. When you say, what's up, she goes. He says, itza, and down she comes. You say, what's it, to the PC, and you get the up arm. That charge is restimulated and unresolved, and that high tone arm shows you restimulated but unresolved charge. It's sitting there in the bullpen. It's sitting there in the reservoir, and it's going to hit somebody or something. And the PC plows through this charge that's been restimulated here, and he puts it over on this line, and he says, itza. And if he's permitted to give you the itza line, then the charge channels right down and hit the auditor. Just itza. And there it goes. Boom. It's gone. You see that? So auditing is a repetitive, the crudest auditing cycle is the what's it, itza. What's it, itza. What's it, itza. And of course, it doesn't take any time to say what's it, and sometimes takes quite a while to say itza. So consequently, this line is much more prone to be out than the upper line, than the what's the line. Definition of an auditor? To listen. Now, you're handling a case. If you knew Scientology in the Galactic Confederation at this particular moment, man, they'd practically put you on a throne, see? Cases? Well, boo. You take some of the old route, route one. You say, all right, be 3 feet back of your doll. All right, be on planet A, planet B, planet A, planet E, planet A, planet B. Got it? Well, you're getting along fine. Planet A, planet B. Good. OT, thank you. Guide say, gosh, you know, that's the trick. Provided you listened. Guide says, this is terrific. I feel much better now. I don't see why I have to be pinning that doll sign. I'm going around getting my sergeant stripes as an OT. The situation would be very different from what you're operating with. The character of the PC you're operating with is operating under an enforced and continuously each life reinforced amnesia. And if the course of the case upward is to knowingness, think of what stands in your road auditing an earth case. And if you were up around in some other locales, it'd be about the same difference as right now auditing an earth case. You would sort of feel odd at how the hell do you audit an ant. You see? Well, it'd be that same gap between an earth case and an ant as a case, more or less a free thetan out there in space who doesn't have your technology, and an earth case. Do you see that? So I can feel for you trying to get wins on the cases you're trying to get wins on, but you should recognize what type of case you're trying to get wins on, and should recognize where your line is breaking down. Now, I've never been able to describe this to you as succinctly as this. I myself wasn't making much of this mistake. It didn't call too much to my attention what it is, but it must have been there if the original word which identifies you, auditor, means listen. Must have been there all the time, well understood. Now, what's the course of having that line out? What's the source, course of it? Here's first, one, dirty needle. Two, stuck TA. Three, ARC break. One, two, three, as inevitable as nonsense from Washington. One, two, three, just like that. If your PC has a dirty needle, a stuck tone arm is incipient on that case. It's liable to happen any minute. Man, you're already three-quarters of the way over the cliff. In fact, the beginning of the piercing, dwindling scream is about to sound. Your ARC break will follow immediately afterwards. Bypass charge. The most fruitful source of bypass charge, then, is the ITSA line. Just it, and that's all. That line. That is the most fruitful source of bypass charge, then. Restimulate an engram. Don't let the PC tell you about it. Restimulate an engram. Don't let the PC tell you about it. Restimulate an engram. Don't let the PC tell you about it. Restimulate an engram. Don't let the PC tell you about it. Restimulate an engram. Don't let the PC tell you about it. If you haven't got an ARC break by that time, PC must have been dead to begin with. Do you see that simply by filling up this reservoir full of charge and then not putting in the ITSA line, not letting the PC tell you all about it, you're bypassing charge? This is elementary. That gives you a change in your auditing training program at level W. Level W, we're going to teach an auditor to be an auditor. We're going to teach them to listen before they restimulate anything. Life restimulates quite a bit of charge. The auditor should at least be able to handle that. Level 1, Scientology 1 auditing, will consist then mainly of listening. You see his TA stop moving. You must have seen earlier a DN and not noticed it. So therefore, if you see a DN, you know TA motion soon is going to cease. May not be the exact next session. May take two sessions for it to really stop. Two sessions of the same kind of treatment. And, you know, that's going to wind up in an ARC break. These people who are ARC breaky PCs are not ARC breaky PCs. There is no such thing. They're only auditors who don't listen. It's very simple. It's very elementary. I don't wish to give you too much stress on this because you're liable to go completely overboard and just sit there and let your PC do nothing but talk. But the only crime that you can commit on letting the PC talk, the only crime you can commit, is that the PC doesn't move his tone arm by talking. PC's talking for a while, and you see the tone arm isn't moving. Well, you go on letting them talk forever, you're foolish. Because the case is getting no place. And this question will come up. PC's nattering. First question that was thrown at me. We had a student here one time that only talked in motivators. Didn't talk English, talk motivators. And the question was asked of me, well, why don't we just let that person talk? Well, in the first place, she never would have gotten any TA as a result of all this talk. And the other thing, she was already in an ARC break. You follow that? You don't let people talk when they're in an ARC break. You find what the bypass charge is. Because your ITSA line has already gone so far out that it won't put itself back in. So, you say, when shouldn't you let a PC talk? No TA action, or the PC already in an ARC break. The time to do then is act. And the no TA action, well, let's give them another audit and command or something like that, but that normally isn't what's wrong when you get stuck TA in that particular fashion.
Normally, the PC is you do an ARC brakes of some kind or another. Recall ARC brakes, and the PC has had an ARC brake in present time, having recall with themselves, having called an ARC brake in the past. That sort of thing happens. Or they've suddenly bypassed and haven't answered 15 or 20 ARC brakes. They haven't given them to you. They threw them all away, suppressed them. That sort of thing is happening. Something weird has gone on in the session. You suddenly cease to get tone arm action. Now the PC could sit there and talk forever and wouldn't get them out of it. No, it requires the auditor to locate what bypass charge, what has happened. He has two remedies for this. He has the ARC brake assessments, and he has these big midroots. He has ways of getting people out of this mess. But that is your basic problem. We're not talking about the ramifications of it. Let the PC talk, and let them talk with tone arm action, and let them talk as long as they want to talk, and let them talk as long as you can get tone arm action by their talking. Where did you get so industrious? If I could sit there for 2.5 hours with the PC telling me all about early track engrams and it's this way and that way, and I've got a TA that is banging here from 2.5 to 4.25, back and forth and back and forth, I'm afraid I would just sit there. I know some of you said and acknowledge, oh no, I wouldn't shut that off. I just sit there and look intelligent. I wouldn't acknowledge a thing. No interim acknowledgments. Once in a while, they look up and they seem brighter about it, so I look brighter and nod. What you want to work so hard for? You realize that we're talking now about case level 2 auditing, because that is case level 2 auditing. All you have to do is let the PC start talking about his backtrack and get tone arm action, never give an audit, start and end sessions. That'd be all there was to the audit and sessions. See, to get that elementary. Well, of course, it can get that elementary all the way down. But the worse off they are, the more their attention has to be directed, the more particularized the process has to be. The way to bypass charge is not let the PC tell you. Now, there's the basic anatomy of what you're doing. It should make an awful lot of sense. And if you were to teach somebody just to listen, Scientology 1, so you say, well, you should go listen to people's problems. They'll have some weird little wins. You know, you can teach them to run an e-meter. See? Just let somebody talk to you. And then eventually you find out that there's talk and talk. There's the talk that moves e-meters and the talk that doesn't. By that time, they'd be a pro. Learn to listen, and you've got it made. You got this all wrapped up and figured out, and you see it, and you got it taped now? Well, watch those DNs and get that ITSA line in. Thank you very much.